All right, we'll go ahead and get started for tonight. If you guys want to go ahead, we will open up to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. And if this is seems familiar to you, this is where my dad was at on Sunday night. Chapter 20, and it says in verse 11, and this was the text of last week, and the king of Israel answered and said, "Tell him, let not him that girdeth on the harness boast himself as he that putteth it off." And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, "Set yourselves in array." And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." And Ahab said, "By whom?" And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces." Then he said, "Who shall order the battle?" And he answered, "Thou." I actually want to focus on verse 13. I just kind of want to take a phrase that I really like. And it says in that first part of the verse, it says, "And behold, there came a prophet." And I just kind of want to look at some of the prophets and just their kind of their correlation. You look at the ministries of the Old Testament prophets, and we're not necessarily going to get into it that too deep, but just drawing the correlation from what an Old Testament prophet is and a New Testament Christian. And there's a lot of things, they're very different, but there's some things that they run into that are very familiar to us. But one thing that we know from the Bible is that the Lord was always using a prophet in the Old Testament. That was kind of, I don't know if I should say the standard way that the Lord spoke to Israel, but that was kind of the standard way that the Lord spoke to his people. If you will, just take your Bible and go to Hosea chapter 12. This was one of the main ways that the Lord spoke to his people. Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12 and look at verse 10. Nothing deep here, but it says in verse 10, it says, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." And so the Lord used those prophets in the Old Testament, and he constantly used a prophet. Let's see, Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 70, it says, let's read verse 67, and his 167, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Let's see. If you will go back to the Old Testament, go to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings 24. In verse 1, it says, "In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and the bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets." And so that the prophets, the Lord used the prophets just to communicate to his people. And that was the way that he did it. I won't quote that verse because we're going to hit it later. But that was just the way that the Lord communicated with them. If you will, we just read 24:1 and 2. Go back to chapter 20. Go back to chapter 20. And it says in verse 10. No, excuse me. Verse 17. There we go. It says this. Behold, verse 16, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. So this is Isaiah, the son of Amos. Yeah, I may have messed that name up. But anyways, verse 17, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Go to 21 and look at verse 10. So that's, again, that's just the Lord giving some instruction there to Hezekiah. And then in this king is Manasseh in verse 10. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whatsoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, and wipeth the dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Now, so the Lord spoke to Israel through the prophets. A lot of the times that came through as a warning, right? He warns over and over here. You have Samuel. Remember Samuel? The Lord came to Samuel, and Samuel had to go as a prophet to warn Eli what the Lord was going to do to his house. And so that was just the way that the Lord spoke to the Old Testament people. Now, we obviously know that's different in the New Testament, and we'll kind of go through how that is. But these prophets, we saw it in verse 10 of 21. It says, and the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets. So they're known as the Lord's servants. They're also called the Lord's servants. Now, a servant obviously does whatever the master bids him to do, right? And so that's a little bit convicting when you think about it. Amos chapter 3. Go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And so the Lord would, by talking to Israel, he would reveal certain things to these prophets. And they were secrets. And you have Paul that probably revealed some of the greatest secrets that the Lord had revealed, but the Lord entrusted them with that. The Lord entrusted his servants with that. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I'm trying to go a little faster because we got a late start. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 10. Let's start at verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against them. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. And they're not just called prophets, but that's how they were known. A prophet in the Old Testament was known by his service to the Lord. Why is Jonah well known? Like, why does Jonah stick out in your mind? Because what he was supposed to be and what he was, they didn't line up. But you have Elijah, you have Elisha, and all those guys have their own issues. But you have Abraham, you have Moses. What were they known for? They were known for being servants of the Lord. So it was how they were known. This, if you will, it goes all the way through. Go to Revelation chapter 10. Even in Revelation, all the way at the end of the Bible, at the end of time, this is what the prophets were known for doing. They were known to be servants. In Revelation chapter 10, in verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." And so again, these guys are, they're servants, they're prophets. I mean, there's a lot of prophets in the Bible, but if you just look up prophet in the Bible, you have Abraham. He's the first prophet mentioned. You have Moses. The Bible calls him a great prophet who the Lord knew face to face. You have Gad. You have Nathan, Ahijah the Shilonite. He's the one that installs Jeroboam as king. You have Jehu, Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, the son of Amittai, Isaiah, the son of Amoz, Shemaiah, Iddo, the seer, Oded, Micaiah, the son of Imla, Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah, the son of Iddo, Habakkuk, Haggai. You have Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, and Daniel the prophet. And those are just, that's just kind of a quick thing. If you look up the word prophet, that's kind of what you'll see pop up. But there's a long list of prophets, right? And the Lord, they were called servants, and the Lord just used those guys. And you'll always see in the Old Testament, you'll always see the Lord using a prophet. Always does it. If you will, go to, they're known by something else. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. First Kings chapter 13, and in verse 1 it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Now, there's some layer of prophecy in this, so we'll just go to the very end. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. That prophet is prophesying against Jeroboam's altars, against his two golden calves that he set up in Dan and Bethel. And it was prophesied that, those altars were going to be destroyed. And so in 2 Kings 23, verse 16, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount and sent them and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. And so maybe I should have given more context there, but Josiah was prophesied to destroy that. And Josiah, of course, was the king who just completely cleaned house. But the Lord used that, and the Lord called the prophet a man of God. Another name that they're known by is they're called messengers. And they were messengers. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. I'm not sure how much of this I'm going to get through tonight. In verse 15, 2 Chronicles 15. Sorry, 36, 15. It says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God." And so the Lord, they were just messenger boys. The Lord would call up a prophet. In fact, I'll probably get ahead of myself a little bit on this one, but the Lord called a guy, and the guy wasn't even a prophet. He wasn't even the son of the prophets. His name was Amos, and Amos at one point says he's arguing with somebody. He's like, "I'm not of the family of the prophets." He's like, "I'm a gatherer of sycamore fruits," but the Lord said, "Hey, I need a prophet," and the Lord called him, and he was just a messenger. And of course, for the New Testament Christian, that's all you are. You're just a messenger. And that's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to be known by that. Right? A Christian is supposed to be known by being a servant of the Lord. But these guys were called messengers. And that's what they did. And these prophets, they just faithfully delivered the message. The Lord had a message, and so they did it. And that wasn't always easy. Let's see. In verse, Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. And you know, the Lord is faithful, obviously, and the Lord was very faithful to his people, Israel, and he was always talking to them, and he was always trying to get a hold of them. But I kind of thought about it from, I don't know if you'd say the human perspective. Yeah, the Lord was faithful, but man, those prophets said, a lot of these prophets said yes every single time. And I know we could, you know, pick out the problems with Elijah and all that stuff, but man, the Lord said, I need somebody. And a prophet said, I'll do it, Lord. The Lord said, hey, you got to go tell this guy this. You go tell that man that I'm going to kill his kids.
Whoa.
Okay, and he did it. But that's what they did, and they were just messengers. But they did that faithfully, and the Lord faithfully warned Israel about stuff. In chapter 7, verse 11, this is Jeremiah. This is probably one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. It says in verse 11, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight. But man, the Lord says, he said, I got up early. I rose up early. I was faithful to you. And these messengers, every time, they went ahead and did it. The Lord said, you need to say this. And so they delivered the message. Chapter 26. Go to chapter 26. And let's look at verse 5. We'll just start in verse 5. It says, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Let's see, skip through some of this. Verse 11, then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes, and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die. Listen, Jeremiah, I mean, to me, Jeremiah is an amazing prophet to me. I mean, they all are. But you read Jeremiah and just read the guts that this guy had. And I mean, could you imagine? Don't imagine it, because you guys do imagine standing in front of Biden and calling him out. You know, you wicked sinner. Of course, you guys, you know, you all do that, right? But I mean, seriously, standing up in front of world leaders and calling them out to their face. That's pretty gutsy. And that's what Jeremiah did. And it went so far that they wanted to kill Jeremiah for it. And of course, they didn't succeed. But Jeremiah is crazy. Verse 12, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do what seemeth good and meet unto you. He goes in there, and they're like, you know, we should, you know, well, what does verse 11 say? This man is worthy to die. And he goes, I delivered what the Lord wanted me to tell you. Oh, and by the way, for me, you just do whatever you want. It's like, man, what in the world? But that's what he did, and so that's what the Lord did. And so We'll go back to 2 Chronicles chapter. Actually, we won't go back to 2 Chronicles 36. But listen, the Lord always warned his people, and he always tried to get them to listen to him. And he said, I sent men, prophets betimes, and I got up early, and I warned you, and I warned you. And eventually, they said no. And so then, of course, the Lord took them after, I think Manasseh, and they went into captivity. And that's what happens when a man rejects the words of the prophet. Now, it actually goes on beyond farther than that, because go to Matthew chapter 23. They didn't just go into the Babylonian captivity and all the other captivities. Matthew 23. And so this was, again, this was just the way that the Lord spoke to his people. The Lord used prophets. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but they do not that do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. Let's see, am I in the right one? Okay, here we go. Go to verse 33. Sorry, I started too early, way too early. Matthew 23. And so the Lord is, of course, he's getting near the end of his ministry, and they're getting ready to crucify him. And he says in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Then he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And listen, they went into captivity. They got out of captivity. There's 400 years of silence in between the testaments. And the Lord finally returns, and the prophet of prophets shows up. And they reject him. And so the Lord says, okay, the same thing that happened to you back then, it's going to happen all over again. And they never learned their lesson. And then he says in verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, I hope that that would never be something that the Lord could say about your house. Now, when I say your house, I mean your temple. But I mean, honestly, when you think about it, and you just look around and you look at this New Testament age, you could kind of apply that to the church today. Your house is left unto you desolate, right? I mean, honestly, how many Christians actually believe the Bible? It's amazing. You talk to a Christian and you start quoting Bible, and it's like it's a foreign thing to them. And they, I mean, hey, it's the words of the prophets, right? What's wrong? How come you, what does it say? Oh, slow of heart to believe? And so, but the Lord just did this, and it all caught up to him. And of course, now the Lord's not talking to Israel right now. There is no prophets, right? There is no communication with Israel whatsoever. And that's still because of what they did back then. Now, we obviously know that's not how the Lord talks to us. Now, that's not to say that prophets or prophecy has nothing to do with the New Testament Christian, because it does. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So, there is prophets in the New Testament, and I'm not really going to get into that a whole lot, but you obviously don't have, the Lord right now is not grabbing a man off of the street. He doesn't grab a man out of this congregation and say, I need you to reveal another secret that I have for the body of Christ or for, the nation of America. He doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't talk to us like that anymore, okay? But it is, whoops, I did it. Preaching and not turning, sorry. But it is kind of, if you want to say, in our framework. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And look what it says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, even though we may not necessarily have that same, that Old Testament connection with the prophets, we still have prophecy in the New Testament. Let's see, go to Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. So we do see it in the Pauline epistles, and I'm not really going to go to very many of them. But in Romans chapter 12, look what it says in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So again, prophecy and prophets, they are involved in New Testament Christianity. Go to 1 Corinthians. We'll go to 1 Corinthians. We'll see it there too. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it does have a place in New Testament Christianity, chapter 12, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so there again, it's prophecy, but it's not. It's almost in a different way, and you guys are going to know where I'm going with this. But it kind of comes, the Lord uses the prophecies, but it's in a different fashion than he did in the Old Testament. Let's see, go to, well, in Hebrews 1, it says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So the Lord used a prophet and he spoke directly to Israel by that prophet, okay? But go to 2 Peter. So this is where it becomes real familiar. Go to 2 Peter. So how does the Lord speak to us then? If he's not speaking to us through the prophets, but we still have that ministry of prophecy, in a sense, how does he speak to us? And it kind of may seem like, yeah, we already know this, but there's kind of a point to it. Look what it says in verse 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. So this is talking about Peter. It says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So this is Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's kind of recounting what happened there. And it says, look at verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And then it says in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so that was kind of like the Old Testament ministry. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Lord would come upon a man and he would prophesy. And that's how the Lord spake. So that was kind of the Old Testament ministry. The New Testament ministry, we'll read verse 18. It says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And now look what it says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. But it says this voice came and spake to us, right? Now you guys know where I'm going with this. So the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. So the Lord doesn't speak to us through the prophets. He speaks to us through what the prophets said. But he speaks to us through the Scripture. And so the reason why I say that is because you don't have anybody walking around. Anytime you hear anybody say, well, I'm a prophet, you, your hair should be standing up on the back of your neck, right? There's something wrong with that, right? There's no control, right? So in the Old Testament, the Lord spoke by the prophet, and he would speak what the Lord wanted. I mean, what do you do now? I mean, you have all sorts of wackos out there, right? In fact, it got so bad that the Lord kept warning his disciples, hey, listen, beware of false prophets. Why? Because every man is going to speak a vision according to his own heart. And so a man will just speak, and that was a problem in the Old Testament. But so now the Lord doesn't speak to us through prophets. He speaks to us through Scripture. So in Amos, it says, the lion hath roared. I'm going to ruin it. Amos 3:8. We read verse 7. Now I got to find Amos in a hurry. Amos chapter 3, verse 8. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? And I know my dad's hit that verse a lot, but the Lord spake. So now that we have the spoken words of the Lord, we have that stuff recorded, that's how we can prophesy. So we don't have the Lord, you don't have the Lord directly talking to a prophet and him prophesying. We have the Lord speaking to us through a book, right? This is the foundation of the prophets. And so that's how a Christian prophesies. And so with that being said, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so the Bible really is kind of, it's this is how you can know when a man is a wacko. Is he'll call himself a prophet, but then what do? You line up the prophecy. You line up the real prophecy, what the guy is saying. And that's how you can judge that guy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So now we know how we can prophesy. We can prophesy according to what the Scripture says. It's not a new vision that we're getting, right? We have all of what God wants us to have in this book. We don't need to have any more, you know, any other revelations. There are no other revelations. This is what the Lord wants us to have. So, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's Jesus Christ, then that which is in part shall be done away. So we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when Jesus Christ comes back, we're not going to have to worry about doing anything in part anymore. We're going to know everything. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and so on. And so those are the differences between the Old Testament ministry of a prophet versus the New Testament ministry of a Christian. And they're obviously very different, but in a lot of ways, they're very similar. And so these prophets, and I'm not going to have much more, I'll just name through these real quick, but what I wanted to get to was just these Old Testament prophets and what they went through. And just some highlights of these prophets. And a lot of the times, you'll go through the Bible. In fact, where we started this, it says, and there came a prophet. And you know one thing you don't know? You don't know his name. And there's a lot of times where the Lord will talk about a prophet and he'll talk through a prophet. In fact, the prophet that spoke to Jeroboam, you don't even know the guy's name. And you know what? We need a bunch of Christians who are just nameless. That's what we need. We need a bunch of Christians who, how many prophets did the Lord have when Elijah was around? Was it 4,000? Remember the Lord says, I have 5,000? Was it 5,000? 7? There was a lot of prophets, okay, guys? There was a lot. There was thousands. But listen, those were all prophets that had no name. You had a couple big names. You had Elijah. You had Elisha. You had Jeremiah. You had all the major prophets. You had all the minor prophets. Okay, there's some names, but that's, I mean, and you know what we need? We need to be willing to be a Christian who is just nameless. It doesn't matter what my name is. It doesn't matter who I am. I'm just a Christian. I'm just trying to deliver the message. John, I like John the Baptist. It says that he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. Like, he was just off doing his thing. He was just doing what the Lord wanted him to do. But they were nameless. And it's amazing because I think that God had, it was just another tool for him. And you know, guys, we all have tools, right? And if you're really good and enough money, you have a tool for any occasion, right? But that was what the Lord had. Like I said, I ruined it from earlier, but Amos said, he goes, I was a gatherer of sycamore fruits. I was a herdman. But the Lord needed use of him. And it makes you wonder, can the Lord use you for any occasion? Can the Lord use you and call you and say, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. They're called, if you will, let's hit a couple of these. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13. So I already went here, but this is the prophet crying against Jeroboam's altar. And it's very simplistic in what I'm saying. But in 13:1, it says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And the Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. In verse 2, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. And you know what? You know what they did? They were called to cry against ungodliness. And if a New Testament Christian and an Old Testament prophet had anything in common, that would be one of them. I mean, we are called to cry against ungodliness. Verse 3, he says, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto this house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it into him again. But listen, the Lord called this prophet to cry against ungodliness. And that's what a Christian should do. And the reason why that's important, and again, we all hear this, but the reason why that's important is because nobody's crying against ungodliness anymore. And it's just, listen, I'm not even talking about all of their crap out in the world. That's the problem, is it's not in the world anymore. It's in the church. I mean, like, sodomy is like, it's bad, but it's in the church, right? I mean, like, that stuff is in here now. Not in this building, Lord willing, but it's in the church. It's in the body of Christ. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And so our job, it's going to get bloodier and bloodier and bloodier. And so they cried against ungodliness. Go to chapter 18. Go to chapter 18. I will wrap it up here in just a minute, or like 5:10. No, I'm just kidding. Chapter 18. And so this is the ministry of Elijah. And this is when he is battling the 400 Baalite priests. And in verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Now look at Elijah's response. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook and slew them. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. But right away, once he convinced Israel that the Lord was God, he says, don't let them go anywhere. And he killed all of those prophets. And listen, you know what? An Old Testament prophet, you know what he had absolutely no room for? He had no room for any compromise whatsoever. There was just no room for it. There wasn't room for it in his ministry and in his calling. And a Christian shouldn't have any room for compromise. And it starts little by little. But listen, once you start letting yourself go on that stuff, the world is obviously, it's constantly pounding on us. And we're constantly getting their propaganda, and it's being shoved at us, and they're doing it for a reason. Because, what, 15 years ago, sodomy is what it is now. Why? Because the media, they just push it. And so it becomes more and more accepted. And a Christian, if they hear it enough, they start to think, well, yeah, I don't agree with it. Of course, of course I don't agree with it, but... And it becomes less. And you hear it so much now, it's like 20 years ago, a transgender? What? Like, that's... No, absolutely not. And now it's just like, well, like, you're kind of used to the idea now, And you got to be careful of that. And so they had no room for compromise whatsoever. And that's how a Christian needs to be. And we'll just hit, let's see, go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. This one I like because it's needed, because everything is driven towards numbers and what you can do and how many people you can have and all that. And so Ezekiel chapter 3 in verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of my people, and speak unto them and tell them. And the Lord gives Ezekiel a calling. And the Lord gives a Christian a calling. And it's just like, go get them. Go get them. And he just kind of turns you loose on them, And some Christians, they get saved, and they do. They just go get them, And they're like a rabid chihuahua, And they just can't witness enough, And that's what you want, right? But then he says, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And you know what a prophet is called? A prophet, it was called regardless of results. Results don't matter. Results matter, right? It matters if people get saved. But you leave those to the Lord. He says, listen, the Lord says, listen, Ezekiel, you know what I'm going to do for you? Is I'm going to call you, and nobody's going to listen to you, but good news. I'm going to make your forehead harder than theirs. That's what he goes, I'm going to make your forehead as hard as a flint. And a Christian, listen, a Christian is called regardless of results. There are times where we get to see results. And praise the Lord for it. And I think that this church is a great testimony of that. But the Lord didn't call you for results. The Lord called you to go and do because it's right. And that's the important thing. And so the results are left to God. It's interesting because the Lord does stuff and it goes against the human mind. For instance, Stephen is preaching a revival, right? And in the middle of that revival, the Lord says, oh, there's one guy I need you to go talk to. Are you kidding me, Lord? You're going to stop a revival so I can go talk to one guy? Yeah, that one guy was an Ethiopian eunuch. And he probably took that scripture back to Ethiopia. And it'll see, the Lord can do a whole lot more if you just let him do the results. Then you think, well, yeah, but Lord, I can do this, this, and this, and this, and like I can get more out, but it's not about you. The Lord calls. If the Lord calls you to do something, you do it regardless of results. And so that's a big thing, again, because numbers are just pushed so much. Now, another thing, just by way of mention, a prophet sticks with God's words even if it goes against his nation. That's crazy. Because you have Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and they wanted to kill him. and they stuck with God's words. And thank God we live in a place where that really doesn't seem to be in question. We can live freely, and thank God for it. But listen, when something goes against that book, a New Testament Christian, a prophet, he's called, it doesn't matter what the world says. You stick with that book. And you've got to do that. And then I think I already said this, but a lot of the times they're in the minority. Yep, I already said that one. And so I'll end there. Sorry for going so late. But that was just correlations between Old Testament prophets and New Testament Christians. So anyways, we will end it there, and we will go ahead and sing a song.